Welcome to Virtually Analog, where we explore Board Game Arena and the ever-blurring line between board and video games. I'm Lex, and I love board games.
I'm Shay, and I love video games.
And this week we are doing something a little different. We have a history of changing up the format every couple months and then going radio silence. That's not going to happen this time, I promise. I shouldn't make promises I can't keep, but I'm fairly certain that we'll get back to our regular scheduled programming next week. But I did think that it would be a good idea after we play 10 games on Board Game Arena. It seems like a good time to stop and kind of reevaluate probably the most like contentious part of our podcast, like all the feedback we've been getting from the different listenership that we have, mostly the turn-based arena Discord, which they've been lovely and they continue to be lovely, but they do say that like their most frustrating part is listening to us rank these games. And I knew it would be. It's not just them, also the Board Gaming Indie Facebook group. I've posted our tier rankings on there a few times, and I get a little bit of pushback. And not only that, but I had a housewarming party at my house, and I had three different people confront me about the rankings.
Oh, my God. Get out of here.
in IRL, asking me, you know, what is up with our rankings and why, why we are doing this the way that we're doing it. So not
hey,
only do
listen.
I want to... Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
You can 400% blame me for the rankings.
Oh, don't worry. I do. I completely throw you under the bus. I just say, no. That's why I feel like, you know, I've said this over and over and over again, but I think everybody needs to cool it with this because listen.
Well, I was going to say, like, tier ranking, this is never going to match up with anyone.
Tier ranking
it's
is
never going to match up with anyone.
Tier ranking is bullshit. By it's a fun thing to do. You can't put any weight to it because it's such a subjective thing. No matter what your tier, you know, you're putting in tier lists, it's so different. And like, I think the fun part for me has been trying to get someone like you who doesn't play games to play these games and try to, without any context of other games, try to, you know, put them somewhere. And I'm hoping now that we've played 10, you kind of get a feel of some of the better board games that BGA has to offer. I should say the better experiences that BGA has to offer. We still have a lot of really great games to cover. I'd say that we've kind of covered 10 of the best easier to learn type games. And they go kind of quicker. But before we dive in, what I want to do is kind of define our terms a little bit better. So, and I didn't talk to you about this beforehand at all, but actually someone posted, when I posted this on the Board Gaming Indie Facebook group, someone asked, what's the rankings based off of? Like, what does S tier mean? What does F tier mean? And it's like, well, you know, it should be obvious, but I'm realizing that I think people will have less problem with this tier ranking if we do a better job of like actually defining what each tier means. So I wrote this up
This is definitely a thing that you shouldn't have sprung on me in the middle of recording.
Okay. I thought it would be more fun to spring this on you out of the blue. And I want to just get your I didn't want you to think about it. I just want to say it, and I want you to tell me how you feel about each one of these tier rankings. Okay,
sure.
And if we want to tweak, I'm pretty happy with how this is written out. But if you want to tweak it, we can. Okay.
Okay.
But this will also give you a good base for re-ranking these games, which we're about to do. Right.
Uh huh.
So, do you want me to start with S tier or start with F tier?
Let's start from the bottom.
Okay, F tier. F tier is absolutely hated it, will never play it again.
Okay.
It's fair, right?
Yep.
D tier is very much didn't like it and probably wouldn't play it again without someone holding a gun to your head, right? Like, that's a, you know, that's a exaggeration, but like D tier is, I, I could be coerced into playing this game if somebody really wanted me to.
Right. You'd have to be at a board game night with like eight other people who are like dying to play this game.
Exactly. And exactly. Like, and like, right, like I don't socially be pressured. Guy. Yeah. Socially pressured into playing this game. Right. And then C tier is, it was a pretty decent game, but I wouldn't go out of my way to play it. I wouldn't pick it up. It's probably more like, you know, if one or two people wanted to play it, then you would play it. Right. B tier is a good game that would be willing to play again. A tier is a great game for almost all occasions. Like you almost at any time you'd be willing to, you know, drop what you're doing and playing. And then an S tier is an amazing game we wouldn't mind playing literally at any time.
Okay, that actually does frame a lot of the games that we've played so far differently.
Yes, I figure they would. And I'm hoping this is why so many people had problems with this, because I feel like this is more what people expect, because this I kind of lined this up with the way that the rating system on Board Game Geek works. They kind of define, it's not S through F tier, but it's like 1 through 10.
Sure.
And it's kind of works in a similar way. So just to recap, our tier rankings kind of lay out like this. S tier is an amazing game we wouldn't mind playing literally at any time. A tier is a great game for almost all occasions. B tier is a good game that we'd be willing to play again. C tier is a decent game, but we won't go out of our way to play it. D tier is we didn't like it, probably wouldn't play it again. And F tier is absolutely hated it, we'll never play it again.
Cool.
And you know what? You know what, Shay? And this might, I don't think this will change, but at this point, I'm very, very glad that none of the games we've played have landed on D or F tier yet.
Yeah.
I would be very sad if that was the case, because I intentionally tried to pick kind of some of the better games that Board Gamery has to offer. But
yeah.
And, you know, thankfully, we didn't let Matthew give some of those games D tier like he wanted to.
I mean, I wouldn't say that he was not justified in some of the arguments that he was making, but I think he was being a little bit too harsh, maybe.
And up until that point, we hadn't defined the tier rankings like we had. Right. So it was a very subjective thing. I think this makes it just a little bit less subjective, hopefully. So, cool. So all that out of the way. Oh, the other big complaint from people that I've talked to, and I don't know if we should necessarily act on this complaint, but it is something that I did want to address, is that I've gotten some feedback where people don't like the fact that we kind of average out our scores. They think it would be better if we basically had two separate tier lists, one with mine and one with yours, or with Matthew, you know, when Matthew...
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
If someone wants to volunteer for that job, go for it.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think it's more fun. I think the reason why I really wanted to do this with you and Matthew is because, you know, I have... This is not just true for video games or board games either. It's true for, you know, we've done a TV show podcast together. You know, we talk about all sorts of different media, and I tend to have an overly positive opinion on a lot of these things. And you kind of helped me ground down to reality, where it's like, okay, maybe the thing wasn't quite as good as I thought it was, right?
I hate to have that role as kind of the antagonist of the show, but I sometimes feel, and this is maybe specific to you, that you have a too much of an appreciation of the effort put into a piece of media, and I think sometimes you can put a lot of effort into a terrible piece of media.
That's very true. You're not wrong. I mean, yeah, like we discussed that a little bit when we recorded the last episode of the Broken Gaming podcast, where we talked about There Is No Game, which I think you and Dan kind of, you know, you had a very good take on that game. I think a lot of people kind of agree with you guys, but I was just sitting there being like, but this guy tried so hard. It's like, yeah, people can try really hard on something and it's still
and
not
be bad
good.
At it. And that's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah. 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 So anyway, I think I am happy with how we are doing things. I think that people will be more happy when we kind of revisit these. And now that we have a more solid foundation for these tier ratings. And I think that, I think we can just go ahead and get started. We're going to go ahead and list these games. I'm going to do a quick recap on what these games are in case anybody's listening, hasn't listened to those episodes yet, but I would recommend going back and listening to those because we do a really thorough, analysis of the game of, well, I should say it can't be that in depth because we only play it like once for most of these games. And that's why like I'm always hesitant to call these like reviews of games, because usually you need to play a game a few times to like really get it for it to click and really get a good feel for it. But I love the fact that this podcast is just like, OK, we're going to play it one time right before we record and just like go with that feeling. Right.
Hey, listen, that's how I've been assigning my tier rankings.
Yeah.
So if anybody has any complaints, you can talk to my gut.
Exactly. So, let's go ahead and get started. Do we want to start from the top of the list or the bottom of the list, Shay? What do you think?
Let's start from the bottom.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. So, like I said, no Fs or Ds, which is awesome. I'm sure that'll change soon, but... For right now, our lowest ranked game in the C tier is Railroad Inc. Railroad Inc. is a roll and write game where you have a set of four dice that you're rolling every turn. Everybody's using the same dice results, and you're trying to connect exits and make the longest railroad and highway kind of intersections and connections as you possibly can. You score points. A person who has the highest points wins. I think that it's a pretty great little kind of quick, easy to learn game. And the BGA implementation is great. I think it's a great game to play asynchronously because there's only really seven rounds. So you only have to check your phone seven times and then the game is over. And so that's Railroad Inc. Now, I know a certain someone in the turn-based arena Discord who would absolutely love to see us bump that game up.
Hey, listen. Can I ask something of you here, Lex?
Yeah.
Can we throw no commentary onto these rankings?
No, I think
let
it's
the review
fun. I think it's fun. Okay, I promise that'll be the last time I do that. Okay. I think yes. Okay, sure. That's fair. Railroad Inc. What do we think about Railroad Inc. being in the C tier?
It's a mistake.
It's a mistake.
It's a mistake. Yep.
Yep. Okay. So, where do we think we should put it then?
A. I'm gonna bump it to an A.
What do we think? Like low A, high A, mid A?
I think mid A is where it lands. I was absolutely wrong about this game. You know, when I listened to the episode that we did and I heard my own arguments, that was kind of where I did that like turn where I was like, I kind of understand what people mean by a filler game now.
Sure. Yeah.
And how that differed from my definition of a filler game.
Right.
And I was wrong about Railroad Inc. I would put that in an A rank for sure.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I think it's a one of the best rolling rights, in my opinion. I think that, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
So I don't have much to add. I think it was very big of you to admit that you're wrong on that one. And, I'm glad to hear it. So that leaves us with no C's then either. So that I'm just so happy to hear that.
It does bode poorly for our next few.
Yeah, that's actually true. I deleted C off the list. I'm actually gonna put C back on because we might be moving some of these down to C, and I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So next one is the bottom of the B tier list. It's Welcome To. Oh, wait. Before we go into Welcome To, I'm sorry. Something that I haven't been very good about doing that I want to get better at is when we talk about these games on Board Game Arena, I want to identify if they're premium, because the most of the people I know have free Board Game Arena accounts and can't necessarily play the premium game. So I think that you know, if we talk about a game, they should know whether it's premium or not. Now, that being said, if you don't know how this works on Board Game Arena, you can still play premium games even if you don't have a premium account. You just have to get somebody to that does have a premium account to start the table. So I'm always up for doing that. Shay, if you ever wanted to play anything on this website with me, I'd always be down for starting a table. I think it's really cool that they do it that way. And hopefully that never changes. But anyway, Railroad Inc. is, in fact, a premium game. And so that's something just to be aware of. So speaking of premium games, I would say that most of the ones that we've reviewed so far have been premium, but we'll be sure to talk about that. So
yeah, it looks like about 70% of our 10 games.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, Welcome To is now the lowest ranked game. Welcome To is a flip and write game where you have three cards. On one side is a number 1 through 15. On the other side is kind of an effect, something that will allow you to kind of multiply your points. And every turn, that three new cards will be flipped up, and you'll have to choose a pairing of number and effect and write it into these homes that are kind of, you have three streets in your neighborhood, and you have to fill in the homes chronologically from 1 to 15. And yeah, you keep going until there's three different kind of end game conditions, and whoever scores the most points wins. Like I said, I'm not going to go too deep into all the rules for all these games. If you want to learn more about them, go listen to the episodes where we covered them, because they're great. But Welcome To is a premium game as well. And Shay, what do we think? Right now it's our lowest ranked game at a low B. Are we keeping it there? Or are we pushing it down? What do you think?
I think it's interesting that you did not suggest moving it up, because I'm also there.
Yeah.
Low B sounds generous to me. I would push it down to a high C, I think.
Yeah, I think considering that, like, B is a good game that we'd be willing to play again, and C is a decent game. You know, like, we're not saying this is a bad game, right? Like, yeah, this demotion is not necessarily the worst thing that we can do to this game. I think since Welcome To was like a really, it has a special place in a lot of people's hearts because it was one of the first flip and write games out there. Mm-hmm. At least one of the first that got like really popular. But I think since then, a lot of other flip and writes and roll and writes have come out that just do what it does better. I think that Railroad Inc. is like an objectively better roll and write game. So, yeah, now that we've played, you know, other games as well, and we have that to compare to, I'm fine moving Welcome To down to C. So,
and to be honest with you, I feel like it genuinely, I feel like it falls in between C plus and B minus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just kind of in no man's land there, where like, it's very easy to like this game, and it's very easy to play it once and be satisfied with that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I think I feel exactly the same way. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we've been very we've been very agreeable so far. I think this is where things might get a little contentious, because the next game, on low B now it's the lowest B, is Space Base, which is a competitive game where on your turn you'll roll two dice, and you basically have these docks of spaceships that have different things like coins and money and planets and a whole bunch of different of these resources, and you're trying to get money so that you can buy more ships, which will build up your engine basically, because on each one of these rocket cards has a blue side, and then if you flip it around it has a red side, and whenever you buy a card that matches that sector that rocket is in, you flip that to the red side, and then on other people's turns, all of those red sides basically get you coins or points or all that stuff. And it's basically just a race until 40 points. Whoever scores 40 points first triggers the end of the round. Whoever has the most points at the end of that round wins the game. So that is Space Base, also a premium game. And right now it's low B. What are you thinking, Shay?
I'm willing to raise this one, but I'm not willing to go past mid B.
Really?
I don't think it goes down, but I don't think it goes that much higher.
Okay. All right. Well,
I think that the game mechanics are too based in chance for you to kind of strategize for this game. And
there is even a if you're lot making, of RNG for sure. Yeah.
Even if you're making all of the right moves, like, you know, you've put a bunch of stuff into 6 and 7 and 4 and 3 and, you know, all of that stuff. And it just doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah. And at the end of the game, if you, on your turn, you never roll those, you're just never going to get it.
Right. And I understand that that's a part of the game. Right. I just think that it's too heavy of a part to overcome once you hit a certain point in the game.
The people that I talk to that love Space Base talk a lot about the expansions and how much that stuff adds, and that's great, and I'd love to try that someday, but that's not what we're talking about here. Like,
yeah, just the base
arena,
game.
Board Game Arena only has the base game available. If it had any expansions, we would have tried it and played it, and that would have affected our decision. But as of right now, I think I agree with you that, like, it's a pretty good game.
I would not, I would absolutely, like, if somebody was at game night was like, hey, let's play Space Base, I'd be like, absolutely, let's do it.
Yeah.
But, like, I wouldn't, you know, if somebody asked me, what do you want to play, I wouldn't say Space Base.
Yeah, if you're playing with a group who really doesn't like randomness, then they're not going to like this game. Right. Like, mm-hmm. if you're playing with a group that gets really upset about just like losing the game through no fault of their own, they're not going to like this game. And so that's why we can't. I think I agree that we can't really put it at the A tier, because there's a good amount of people that really wouldn't like this game, I think. So,
I think that is an interesting thing to bring up here, is that, like, this game is kind of shot in the foot by its own accessibility. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, I certainly enjoy playing it, but, like, it's because I understand that there is randomness in board games. But if you're, you know, like you said, if you're with a group of people who doesn't like randomness, and, like, or, you know, you have that one person in your group who's, like, really upset about losing a game, and will rant and rave about how the dice were working against them, then, like, this is absolute, like, there's a good chunk of board game players who would not like this game.
Yeah.
And I think that while I enjoyed it, I don't think it is necessarily as accessible as it could be.
Cool. All right. So we'll move that up a little bit, but it's going to remain in B tier. Next then will be The Crew. The Crew is a cooperative card game. It's a trick-taking game. I don't really feel like explaining what a trick-taking game is right now. So, like I said, if a cooperative card game that's like Hearts. that sounds interesting to you, go listen to our episode about it, or just go watch a tutorial. It's pretty easy. This game is not premium, which I love. I think that this game and this, on our last episode where we talked about these games, I talked about how cool it was that the publisher allows not only this game and not only this game, but the Crew Mission Deep Sea, its sequel, it allows both of those games on the platform, but it also makes it free, which is just, they didn't have to do that. It's really, like to, you know, when a lot of the free games are usually lesser known games that they just want anybody to be able to try. And usually, you know, when a game is pretty well known, they'll make it premium because they can, right? They can afford to.
Yeah.
People will want to play them regardless. So I think it's really, really cool that this is not a premium game. But I'm not going to let that, you know, change my decision on where this should be. Shay, I've let you kind of take the wheel on some of these. I think that the crew should be moved up to low A. How do you feel about
that? Wait, hold on. Moved up to low A?
Yeah. Right now it's low B. I think that the crew
low A?
Is a good enough game.
Oh, man.
That I'd play enough.
It's so tough because, like, I know what the sequel is like. You know?
And that's true.
And I think that this may be like a mostly unique situation.
Yeah.
I
completely agree where, like, if I have a choice to play the crew Mission Deep Sea and play Base of the Crew, I'm gonna choose Mission Deep Sea every single time.
But no, you're right.
I think if
the crew Mission Deep Sea is not an option, the crew I would absolutely
still play.
I think you're right.
And it's funny because I can say this for real because I've mentioned a few times on the show that I moved recently and I can't find my Mission Deep Sea copy. All I can find is my base game of the crew. I've been playing it and I've been enjoying it just fine. So, yeah. You know, I'm even considering just straight up buying another copy of the crew Mission Deep Sea because it's a pretty cheap game and I just love it so much. But, yeah, I think the crew low A is a good place for it. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So now we are going to talk about the next game on our B tier. It is another premium game. It is Splendor. Now, Splendor is an engine building game where we collect these resources that have gems on them, and then we pay those gems to collect cards that also have gems on them, and you're trying to collect bigger and better cards that have more points and also try to fulfill the requests of certain gold cards and whoever scores. I think it's like 12 points, maybe.
I think you're right. That sounds right.
Something like that. Whoever gets there first triggers the end, and whoever has the most points wins. I think I'm not sure where I fall on Splendor.
Do you want me to go on the
Yeah,
the
I'm not sure where I fall on Splendor here.
I feel pretty confident about this one.
Go for it.
I think that Splendor should be pushed down to C.
C.
Yeah. I think that there are too many moving parts and things can go south for you too quickly and the game is too long for that kind of letdown to be erased by just playing again.
Sure. Should we put it above Welcome To or below Welcome To?
What is it right now?
Right now it's low B.
Low B. I think high C.
Okay, above Welcome To.
Above Welcome To.
Okay. Yeah. I can live with that.
I just because I think that, like, genuinely there, some of the mechanics of the game make it, like, inaccessible. Like, you kind of realize soon if you're losing, you know?
Yeah. You can kind of fall behind pretty quickly in that game if you don't get the cards that you need early. And
right. And then 25 minutes later, you're just watching another person win while you're, you know, taking a smoke break or something.
Fair. Cool.
So, like, I enjoyed that game. And I think that maybe my enjoyment came from the fact that I was pretty good at it.
Yeah.
But if you're not good at it, or, you know, even if you are good at it and you flip the wrong cards, like, you can get shafted pretty quick on that game. And then you still have, like, 20, 25 minutes to play.
Yeah.
So I think I would push it down. Like I would definitely play it again. Yeah. I would not suggest it for a game night.
Yeah, and I think that's what people need to understand is like all the games that we're talking about so far, these are C or higher. These are still decent mm-hmm. to good to great games. Like
still all play, cool your jets. Play all of these games. Yeah. It's
great. Okay.
Yeah.
We've all been very positive about these games so far. All right. Yeah. Moving on. We're going to go a little bit quicker because I just realized how late it is. So, we'll go real quick into our last B tier game that we had previously, and that was a high B for Forbidden Island. Forbidden Island is a cooperative game. It's like an adventure game where you're playing as these characters that were running around trying to save treasure before the island sinks. I'm not going to get too deep into it. It is a premium game on Board Game Arena. I think that the implementation works pretty well. We didn't have any problems playing it. We've actually had played this one before, Shay.
Yeah.
Right now we have it as a high B. What do you think about that?
Well, this may be controversial, Lex. I think we should move it to S tier.
S tier?
S tier.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah. I loved this game. I think that it, you know, the idea that a cooperative game can create its own tension,
yeah,
like without, you know, relying on other players' moves, I think is incredible. And, you know, the more I thought about this game, like, you know, obviously we talked about on the episode where we covered this game that, like the classes that are the roles that we got.
Yeah.
Played a bit of a factor into how well the game went, but I still think that it would be great even if we couldn't do any of the things that we were able to do. Like,
okay,
I hear your hesitance to put it into an S tier.
Yeah,
but I would play this game every time.
Wow. I'm absolutely thrilled that you loved this game so much. I think that
that for sounds some reason, like an A tier to me.
I think it was going to be a stretch for cooperative games. There's not a whole lot of cooperative games on Board Game Arena. They're always adding more, and I love that. But, you know, if you're going to play something cooperatively, a lot of times people just want to go play, like, especially if you're going to sit at a computer, people are going to want to play, you know, things like Minecraft or, you know, quads in Fortnite or whatever, you know, like something that's a little bit more rewarding for a cooperative experience. But I personally love cooperative game board games. I think that there's a feeling of overcoming the odds and being able to pull off a win that feels really good, especially if the board game is a little bit more challenging. I think that's the only thing stopping me from Forbidden Island being in S tier, like that, why I'm like thinking that it shouldn't be put in S tier is because I've played this game enough where it's either really too easy based on like the rolls that you get, or it's just impossible. You know, like the difficulty,
That's fair.
Ramps in a very strange way. And I think that, like I said, I love Matt Leacock. I love both Forbidden Island and Pandemic. But, you know, when we say it's an amazing game, we wouldn't mind playing literally anytime since the our recording of it, you once have messaged me asking me to play Forbidden Island, which, by the way, I was shocked by. I was like, oh my gosh, Shay wants to play a Board Game Arena game. That's amazing. I was like, really want to. But then I don't remember what I had going on, but I think
I messaged you on your like live board game night.
Oh yeah, I think that's right. And then I think after that we ended up playing Root or something instead. Yeah, or maybe that was a different day. But anyway, I think that I'm totally fine putting this in like the high A, like the highest A.
Yeah, that's fine.
As long as you don't threaten to quit the podcast.
Never. I will say that there is definitely a part of me, and this might be what like is the justification for knocking it down to a high A. I can absolutely see like fatigue from this game if you lose too many times in a row. And maybe you would need to take a break from it. But yeah. High A's. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Cool. Sweet. All right, moving along then to our A tier games. The next one that we haven't talked about yet is Copenhagen. Copenhagen is a newer game on Board Game Arena where you are, it's kind of like a Ticket to Ride meets a Tetris type game where you are drafting these colored cards and then you're collecting them and then you're using, you're spending those cards to place these windowed colored tiles on your building, and you're scoring points for completing rows and columns. You get doubled points if those rows and columns don't have any gaps in the windows, because some of the pieces, not all of the squares on the pieces have windows. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I think that this game is great. I'm perfectly happy with where it is at kind of a low to mid A. What are your thoughts, Shay?
Yeah, this one, reading through the list, this one, by the way, not a premium game.
Oh, right. Yep. Yeah.
So anybody can play this one.
Pretty good.
But yeah, this one felt that it was right where it was. Yeah. So
great. We nailed it. Got it in one. Crushed it. Another one, moving on to the next game. Next is a game that's very much like Forbidden Island, so we don't really have to talk about it too much, but it is a game that most people know because of recent events. It is Pandemic. Now, we put Pandemic in middle A tier, and I am not so sure about that. I think that if we're going to move Forbidden Island up to high A tier, as much as I enjoy Pandemic, I think it's too long for what it is. And I think that moving it down to probably mid to low B, it's a good game. I'm willing to play it, but not all the time. I kind of get burned, like I do with Forbidden Island, I kind of get burned out on it. I think Pandemic... I can get very much burned down on it very, very quickly. So,
yeah, I agree with you on that.
Next up, we have in the high A territory, we have Baron Park, which is a tile laying, a polyomino laying tile game where you are trying to fill up your parks and add more sections onto your park to fill that up as well. Different spaces on your park will get you different tiles, which will score you more points, and it's kind of a race to fill up your park. This game, I should mention, not only is it premium, but it's also in beta. I don't think that we had any issues while we were playing it. In fact, this was probably one of the smoothest games we've played on Board Game Arena. I think that the you know, we don't talk too much about like how the digital implementation kind of sways us on these games, but this has what I have not seen in any other implementation before. It has a prepare your next turn functionality, which makes games go so much quicker. I love it. I think that it's like, if it wasn't for that, this might be bumped down a little bit, but this definitely helped me enjoy the game more. Shay, what are your thoughts on Baron Park?
I think that I agree with you on the prepare your turn thing. Is definitely kind of keeping this one afloat as far as the Board Game Arena implementation, but that is something that you can do in real life when you're playing the game. So yeah. I mean, frankly, it should be a detriment to all of the other games that we've
that's covered. True.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I think that it is something that's like, it's not something you really think about when you're talking about like board, like physical games versus digital games, is that yes, you can like mentally prepare your next turn while you're playing a game, but you can't actually reach out and take pieces and put them that's on your true. Board, right? That's like true. And say, yeah. No, this is fine. I'm taking this for my next turn. If you want it back, I'll give it back. Right. Like that's something that you can do digitally. Like create basically like ghost pieces that if someone else takes, then you have to kind of rethink your thing. I think that, I think it took a lot of ingenuity for the developers to kind of implement that. And I'm really hoping they go back to some other games that could like benefit from this functionality or just consider it for games in the future. Because it does create this like really interesting thing that you you can do that. They took something that you do in your head physically mm-hmm. and makes it a reality in the digital space. And I just think like this kind of shit is exactly why I want to record this podcast, right? Like, like this is kind of the stuff that like makes me so interesting. It makes me so like interested in this whole idea of like converting physical board games into the digital medium. But anyway, I'm cool not moving Baron Park. You good with where it is, Shay?
It's high A right now.
Yeah, right behind Forbidden Island, in between Forbidden Island and Railroad Inc.
Yeah, I think I'm good where it's at.
Cool. All right. So
just to address your Facebook adversary real quick.
Yeah.
This is reading your brain and putting it into Board Game Arena. So hopefully you get on board with the 21st century.
Exactly. I hope that person never listens to our podcast because I don't want to create content for that person to enjoy ever. Anyway, moving on to S tier. We only have one game to talk about in S tier, and I think that's appropriate out of all of the game. I think I shouldn't get ahead of myself, but you know, I'm pretty sure I'm good keeping this with where it's at. But we've already mentioned it. It's The Crew Mission Deep Sea. I love the fact that we love this game enough to put it in S tier. I think that there's no game that we've played so far that's more deserving of this, you know, special rank. I am always down. Not only am I always down to play this game almost any time.
I am always down.
You're always down to play this game. I have friends who active. I have friends from high school who I love dearly who usually refuse to play board games with me. I can get them to play this game. I think that this is just one of the. It's as close to a perfect game as you can get, and as far as cooperative games go, in my opinion. But
yeah.
I don't think there's much more to be said about it. It's very much like The Crew, just better, which is crazy because the Crew is already such a good game. So it's like they kind of built on, you know, they made a good game and kind of made it great. So anyway, Shay, do you have any closing thoughts on The Crew Mission Deep Sea? Before
we move on? No, I just really appreciate that they took all of, not flaws necessarily from the base game, but just like the original game, I should say. Just like there were like minor things that would make this game better, and they did all of them.
Yeah,
and they
didn't need to, right?
Right.
They could have just slapped a different theme on and sold it out the door, and people would have bought it. But no, they took their game. They said, "What can we do to make it better?" They listened to the people who are playing it. And
they made it better.
And I wish that more people in both video games and board games would do that. It's kind of just the prime example. So I'm going to very quickly go through our official rankings. I will also be remaking the tier list thing on Tier Maker, and I'll be posting that on our social medias and in Discord and everywhere. So starting from the top and going to the bottom, we got S tier. We got The Crew, Mission Deep Sea. A tier, we have Baron Park, Railroad Inc., Copenhagen, and The Crew. And Forbidden Island. In B tier, we have Space Base and Pandemic. And in C tier, we have Splendor and Welcome To. And can I just say, Shay, I am feeling much better about this tier ranking. I don't know. No matter what we do, we're going to have people who are unhappy about our decisions. But I think that this is pretty on par for where we want to be at this point. So
yeah, the only bad news is that because we now have a more objective ranking system, we'll never be able to do a revisit to these rankings ever again. So if you're unhappy with them, this is just how it is for the rest of your life.
You're right. I was thinking like maybe every 10 episodes we would go back and rethink these, but no, we don't need to
do it ever again.
I can't do this again, especially after we play 20 games. Like, no, thank you. Cool. All right. So, next up, I just wanted to talk about where we're at in terms of the scoreboard. I think that I shouldn't want to talk about this because it's a little embarrassing for me, but as far as competitive games go, we're not counting cooperative because that's kind of a weird thing, but as far as competitive games go, Matthew, who was not able to join us tonight, has won 0 games. And I have won 2 games. And Shay, you are currently in the lead with 4 games won. So that's good.
That's right, baby.
I think I need to, like, we need to have a plaque or something, or like a a dunce cap for me and Matthew or something like that. But,
well, hey, listen, if I'm still winning at the end of year one of my run on this show, then we can make a plaque. But
okay. It's still too early to really call the.
Exactly. Yeah,
fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, cool. So yeah, so I think that's something else that I wanted to discuss before we get into news is that I'm very interested in tying this game more into like the video game sphere. I feel like since we've kind of changed gears, we've been talking a lot more about board games, and you know, that's kind of be the nature of it because Board Game Arena is mostly board games. But I'm very open to ideas on how we can incorporate video games more. I know a lot of the people that listen to the show love video games, and I definitely want to talk about it more. So more than just video game news, like, let us know what you guys want us to do. I had the idea of, like, after we talk about a game, kind of talking about, like, if one of us has an idea of, like, if you liked this board game, try this video game, or like, or vice versa, right? Like, if you, you know, if you like these video games, this might be a board game for you type of deal. I think that that's something that might be good, but yeah, I'm open to suggestions. So please email us at virtuallyanalog@gmail.com if you have ideas on how we should incorporate video games more into our show. Speaking of which, Shay, hit us with that sweet video game news.
Okay, this is kind of big news. Because this name is huge in the video game community. Hideo Kojima, as I think I've mentioned before on this podcast, was already in development of like a horror game with a voice actress from Death Stranding. But he also tweeted, I want to say late last week, he tweeted about having planned a video game that was similar to the Amazon show The Boys. Not only that, but Kojima is apparently in an exclusive relationship with Xbox and Bethesda to make a game for them. So I don't know if that's the horror game that he was talking about, or this other. This other game that was similar to The Boys, but there's the possibility that he's like developing 3 games right now.
Wow.
Which
is crazy for him because he's pretty notorious for like only working on one project at a time and like taking forever to release that project. And
well, okay, so okay, all right. And this is kind of the big news from that. So I wasn't exactly sure about the exact quote about The Boys. Apparently it's a canceled game. However, after tweeting about developing a game that was similar to the show, he tacked on at the end that he was thinking of Mads Mikkelsen as the lead for that game. And then a couple days after he tweeted that, he tweeted a picture of him getting a meal of some kind with Mads Mikkelsen. So maybe that's not dead in the water, you know?
I guess we'll have to wait and see. It's all
right. So like, obviously because of Hideo Kojima not ever telling anybody anything about anything, I don't know. I don't know how developed any of these 3 games are. But there you go. He's got some ideas in the tank, and he is locked and loaded for a while.
Stuff in the works from our boy Kojima. Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, well, in case you missed it last time, Board Game Arena is doing a summer games type promotion calendar type thing where every day if you log on to Board Game Arena, you can see what the new, they're basically releasing a game a day for the whole month of July. So they've released 7 games already, which is pretty crazy. I think the most notable ones are probably Tigris and Euphrates, which is a really, really fun game. I own the physical copy. It's kind of hard to find. Like, if you want to play this game physically, it's actually really hard to find copies of that game. So the fact that they put it on Board Game Arena is huge for, like, accessibility reasons. It's a pretty good implementation. I highly recommend it. The other game that I've played of the ones they were released is called Ice in the Sky, which is kind of like a game about environmentalism and trying to, like... it's a cooperative game where you're trying to kind of fix the earth type of thing. It's interesting.
5 out of 5 complexity rating.
Yeah. Right.
2 out of 5 if anyone would listen.
Yeah, true. True.
And that's me making the Virtually Analog Podcast political.
Yeah. If I thought that people were going to give us a hard time about tier rankings, woof. Imagine what will happen. Anyway, so that's going to wrap up this episode. I thought this was going to be a really short one, and it's probably our longest one so far. Thank you so much for everybody sticking with us. I'm really excited that we got 10 games under our belt, and we have like 250 more to go. So. We'll just keep chugging along. We'll be continuing to play. We'll get back into our regular format next week, and hopefully Matthew can join us. We can play a good 3-player game. And yeah, if you have any questions or any comments about the show, send us an email at virtuallyanalog@gmail.com. If you want to share the show, the best way to do that is sharing the link, virtuallyanalog.info. You can find links to the show, links to our Twitch and our Discord and everything there. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. That really helps bumps us up in the rankings and helps more people find us. So, yeah, I think that just about does it. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye.